Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving, where we give you information and education on senior care topics. My name is Ryan McInniff, the host. My co-host is Janet. Janet, how are you?
I am well, to the host with the most.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
And our quick tip this week, this podcast is, Janet, what is it?
Check your fridge. Do you know if anything's expired in there? You get a heat wave, things expire, and you can eat them and get sick. And even more so, elderly people that live alone. They don't check the expiration dates or spoilage.
It's a pretty good tip.
I thought so.
Excellent. So thank you for that. Getting into this, we are talking about anesthesiology, correct?
Anesthesia and the elderly, yes.
All right. Anesthesia and the elderly. Janet's going to take point on this, and I'm going to be the skipper. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right.
We're a team.
You're the captain. I'm the skipper.
Yeah. We thought we'd just do a little bit of an informative kind of thing because people, people know about going under anesthesia for surgeries or go to the dentist or whatever, but they don't always understand how it can be different for elderly people. And so just to give a little background about anesthesia and what it is it's a medication so that you're either unconscious or unable to feel pain or both.
Yep.
I had the opportunity to have the kind of anesthesia where I wouldn't be unconscious, but I wouldn't feel pain. And I said, I don't want to know what's going on. So you can make me unconscious and let me not feel pain. But you can have the choice sometimes. surgeries, they use anesthesia for surgeries that could take a long period of time, that could cause a lot of physical or emotional discomfort. Some people, what they're doing won't hurt that much, but the anxiety of the doctor with the knife is enough to make people very stressed out. Or when it can possibly interfere with breathing. They'll use anesthesia for that. And the reason that elderly people are at a higher risk is, that groggy, foggy feeling that they all talk about? An elderly person can have it for a longer period of time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it can just last longer for them. And in some cases, it can last for days or weeks or even months. And when you think about someone who we've talked a lot about fall risks, they can be unsteady. They can be confused.
That doesn't exactly help the cause now, does it?
No, it doesn't. And also when elderly people are having a surgery, they probably have other medical issues anyway.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of they broke their wrist and they need to be put out so it could be set because it was a bad break. But people that have diabetes, heart disease, cancer, respiratory illnesses, that becomes much more complex in terms of how much anesthesia they can have and how it's going to manifest itself. And people that have Parkinson's, they can develop hallucinations as a result of the anesthesia. And they can have confusion that doesn't appear until days after the surgery. It's not like just coming out of the surgery. And I can say from my own experience, my dad had heart surgery years ago and he had his anesthesia and, we were visiting him. Everything was fine. And we were talking to him the next day and he's quietly telling us about this horrible thing that was going on to the person in the next bed. And this was just not the way my dad ever talked about anything, but he was adamant that someone was trying to kill the person in the next bed.
Yeah.
And it was an anesthesia related thing. It was so vivid to him, it was real. And this is much much more prevalent in older people. And so that can also determine what kind of care they even get after the surgery, because if they're groggy and foggy and confused, it's not like us where we can get up and go to rehab. They need to be very careful with them.
Yep.
So a thing that is like the results of anesthesia, but it's a very unique thing, is a delirium. And it's often called hospital delirium. And that's really what my dad had. And it's the difference between that and, say, dementia is it's a short term. temporary change, as opposed to a dementia, which is a longer term evolving kind of thing. But a lot of times people use the terms intermittently, and they swap them around. So they could think someone now has dementia when they don't. Maybe they're just suffering from a hospital delirium from anesthesia. So, and because the terminology is thrown around so freely, you don't always know what it is.
Yeah, they're used interchangeably, and you know, it becomes more and more confusing as people.
Yeah, so you know, with surgery, you have to really understand the risks and the benefits of surgery. You know, if a child falls and breaks something, you think, "Yeah, I'm going to get it fixed." If an older person has a frozen shoulder, do you put them through the surgery or not? Because there is this anesthesia to deal with. There are those side effects to it. Is it going to improve their quality of life? How many people do you know that had a surgery on something and it still bothers them?
Yep.
So is it worth it to have them go through all of that risk when maybe it's not going to be a whole lot better? You know, so that can be different. So it's really a matter of deciding what they need. What is their quality of life going to be? And this is probably most common. You hear so often about hip replacements, knee replacements. And what is the benefit of that? I mean, if they weren't running the marathon before, they're probably not looking to start training now.
Yeah.
So what are you trying to accomplish with this surgery? You have to kind of ask yourself, you know? And you need to really just take a deep breath and say, what's their quality of life going to be? A lot of surgeries, you got to do rehab. It's like going to a workout. And I bet there are mornings, and I know you work out faithfully, but there are days you just don't enjoy it.
Nope.
And it's even more important for them to try and do what they can to get their muscles back. Mm-hmm. So you've got to really think about all of the components of having knee replacements, hip replacements, whatever. And, you know, things are going to take longer than you think. The whole thing is just a whole big challenge behind deciding on surgery, and people focus on fixing what's broken, but they don't often think about the anesthesia effects. And some people, it can result in a dementia that does not go back to the way it was before. So you have to kind of give some thought to that, and you want to really have a good conversation with the doctor. And most pre-ops, you meet with an anesthesiologist if you are going to go ahead with surgery. But you want to ask them, make sure they know everything. They need to know every medication, every glass of wine, every herbal med, everything they do, because it will affect how they deal with the anesthesia. You and I can cheat a whole lot better than somebody that's an older person.
Yeah, somebody that's 80 or 90 years old that's going into surgery, you need to be much more cautious because they're much more fragile in general.
Yep.
You know, it's the same. We always say, you know, we've said in other podcasts, you know, newborns and older adults, there's a lot of similarities.
Two and 92.
Yeah, two
and 92. One's taller.
So would you do that with, wouldn't you be concerned about a two-year-old or a three-year-old with what the effects of anesthesia would be compared to somebody that's 30, 40, 50 years old or whatever it might be?
Exactly. So
that's a very valid point. It's something that people forget about. You know, there's a reason why anesthesiologists make crazy amounts of money. There's also another reason why anesthesiologists pay crazy amounts of money for insurance.
Exactly.
Because it is a big, big deal when you put somebody under to make sure that they're not under for too short amount of time, too long amount of time, or anywhere, just that perfect amount of time to make sure that somebody can get the surgery, be safe, and then recover quickly.
Yeah, and it's very, very individual. And when you're dealing with specialists, they're exactly what they say they are. They're specialists. Your surgeon is a specialist in whatever that procedure is. The anesthesiologist is focusing on the anesthesia, but you got to look at the whole picture.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and I mean, you think about, we were just talking about falls in seniors, and that results in broken bones, which usually results in some type of surgery. And there you go. There's your segue from one podcast to another, where
exactly.
You know, you break that bone, you break a hip. I mean, there's a reason why hips are considered, you know, kind of like death sentences. You know, mm-hmm. You break a hip, people just don't recover from them. And their life expectancy can be quickly diminished. Their quality of life is quickly diminished, but their expectation of how long they're going to live can be shortened quite a bit as well, because it's not just like, don't get me wrong, it's not like getting an infection and then it goes septic and then you die. It's more of like your quality of life goes down. So your will to live kind of goes down. You're more vulnerable to infections because you're not as active and you're not, you know, and then all of a sudden it's this culmination that occurs. Now, while there isn't a direct correlation between breaking a bone and dying, if you hadn't broken the hip, there's a high chance that you never would have gone into depression because you can't go out anymore and and taken the downward spiral into, you know, eventually passing away from other issues.
Exactly. And there are things that you need to do when you're recovering. And we talk about, just like with fall risk, safety awareness does not run rampant among the elderly population.
Doesn't run rampant about human beings in general.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I almost think of, you know, when you see a dog that got its ears clipped, it's a puppy, they put a cone on its head to protect it. You know, it's almost like, how do you put a cone on an elderly person? Because a lot of times they'd say anesthesia. They're not talking so much about anesthesia. They thought, oh, they can't have the surgery because their heart can't take it.
Yeah.
Well, the anesthesia may be too much for them.
Yep.
So they're going to let them just let nature take its course and heal. And that is a very slow process.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. It's a good, it's something that you don't think about. And it's a good thought process to have when you're dealing with somebody that's going into surgery. And it's a big concern to think about how, hey, you know, what's going to happen? Is this worth it? Is this going to, is somebody going to make it out of this because of this? Or if they do, what are the side effects when it comes to being put under?
Yeah. So like when we talk about tips, if you're thinking surgery, talk about anesthesia.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Janet. You really spearheaded this well. This is, if you can't tell, if you're a new listener, Janet is the clinical side of things. I am the business side of things.
So we're,
I
just yin and yang.
I just said, yes, that's interesting. Yes, I totally understand. Wow, that's very fascinating, because it's something that, you know, that's what I think makes this work. It's like, I wouldn't have ever thought about that topic, but it's something that's important to think about. And, you know, that's why we kind of set this up so it was clinical and business. So you can talk a little bit about the money and the business side of things, and then you can talk about the care and the more clinical side with you. So I think that makes sense, and it's definitely a topic that people will resonate with, without a doubt. So anyways, we will see you on the next one. This is the Caregiver's Toolbox. Janet, thank you again.
My
name
pleasure.
Is Ryan McAniff, the host of the Caregiver's Toolbox. Another quick tip, we are on YouTube, the Caregiver's Toolbox. We have, last time I checked, our videos have zero views. So if one of you people could go over there and make me feel good about myself, that would be greatly appreciated. If you go to the Caregiver's Toolbox on YouTube, you don't even have to watch the whole video. Just have it running in the background. They make me feel, one person watched
the
video.
We can't even say you're wearing an ugly shirt because nobody's checking in to see what color the shirt is, right?
So, I mean, I looked on that, because the Caregiver's Toolbox podcast has been doing pretty well. We're getting a lot of downloads. And granted, I've only been doing videos for maybe 3 or 4 weeks now. So you can't expect a lot, but it was just funny. I laughed at this, and there's not one person that's watched this video. So somebody go over there, Caregiver's Toolbox on YouTube. Give me one subscription. Somebody subscribe, and somebody watch one video. If you can do that, you'll make my week. You'll make my day. You'll probably make my month.
Maybe we'll have a prize for whoever first names the proper color of your shirt. We'll know they looked. We'll pick some unique color and say, if you find him and he's wearing this shirt, you win the lottery.
You win it. So just funny. Anyways, thank you very much for listening to the Caregiver's Toolbox. We are on YouTube. We are on Facebook. I am on Twitter, Ryan McAniff. I think at Get Big Red.
I think something like that.
Something like that. I don't use Twitter as much as I probably should. But anyways, thank you very much for listening. We will catch you on the next one. Have a good day.